Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go!
Let's go!
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson. And you are in the
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, it's Tuesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels, heading up until 2 o'clock. The next 4 hours, we've got you. A lot of stuff to get into and talk about today. We will talk some NFL football, some Kansas City Chiefs, and we will talk some Kansas City Royals. A little baseball as the Royals have dropped a few games in a row after winning 4 games in a row, now sitting at 17-13, 3 games out in the American League Central. Yes, we are still scoreboard watching because... You know, it's been a fun start to the first 30 games. 10 more games when you have the whole first 40-game assessment to see where they are, how they've played. What is more likely to stay? What is more likely to remain as whether it be positive or negative with this particular team? We'll continue talking about that. Les Norman will be our guest coming up at noon. Breaking the Norm, presented by TruckMovers.com, First Federal Bank of Kansas City. We will hang out with Adam Teicher an hour from now, ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks, and we'll talk with him about the Chiefs draft, what he took away from the 7 selections for the Kansas City Chiefs, the 5 offensive players, the 2 defensive players, how great the Chiefs strength and conditioning staff is, maybe the greatest strength and conditioning staff ever. We'll explain. No matter what the surveys said with the NFL Players Association, we know that the Chiefs have the greatest strength and conditioning staff. We'll talk about that. Adam Teicher will be our guest. We'll certainly talk about what happens now. What are the next steps for this roster? What are the holes on this roster that need to be filled? Is it running back? Is it defensive tackle? Do they need to add a cornerback? Is it wide receiver maybe that they need to still go out and address? And instead of saying, you know what, we're going to allow or have this group of receivers be the ones we show up to in OTAs and training camp and simply say Tony and Sky Moore probably on the team as opposed to bringing in somebody else and really pushing them and finding the best 5 or 6 guys and not just a, well, they're still on the team, so they're going to be on the roster. So we'll talk with Adam Teicher about a number of things, including Clark Hunt's comments on Friday night or Saturday, whenever that was. I think it was Saturday. His comments talking about the stadium deal being denied, turned down, the no vote, winning, and what it means now moving forward. A lot of stuff from Clark Hunt coming from that and all options being open. Open-air stadium, dome stadium, staying at Arrowhead, moving to different places. Certainly staying in the metro would be priority number one. But also you've got the Kansas legislature that passed, or at least the committee, passed the star bonds last night, which will now go to the Senate and the House to vote on, which is expected to be passed after they wrap up this session. So it comes out of committee, expected to be passed by the Senate and the House, the star bonds, which would finance $2 to $3 billion, fully financed for 30 years. It does sunset after a year, but it can be extended. So essentially June 2025 is when the Chiefs would have to agree, or Royals, both of them, would have to agree to that and then start, entering into negotiations. It does open up a window for the Chiefs / Royals to move over to Kansas. It is the first step, I think, a preliminary step from Kansas saying, we aren't just interested, we're serious about bringing the Chiefs or the Royals over to the Kansas side, wherever that may be. And the star bonds, that is, we're not going to raise taxes right now. We're not going to worry about that. This doesn't even have to go to a vote of the people. We just have to vote it through within the government, the state legislature. We vote that. It doesn't have to go on the ballot. So here's the deal we can come up with you. And then, of course, get into more specifics and things like that. But it is the first step. And it is really one of the first shots across the bow to Missouri and Jackson County of you open the door. I mean, there was an opportunity, whether people agreed or not. I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, people know where I stand on this. And everybody has their vote, which is fine. But what I said at the time and what I'll continue to say is it was the one opportunity you had to guarantee the Chiefs and Royals were not leaving. And maybe people didn't care. Maybe they're fine. Well, you know, go over to, you know, Johnson County and have them pay. Okay, great. Like I said then, great. I would love for there to be a bi-state. It would be awesome for everybody that can participate. But that is going to be so convoluted with the taxes and the pro tax and everything that I don't think everybody could come together and agree. Jackson County and the city and the county couldn't even come together and agree as to what the best deal was, let alone you'd have cities and counties in the area and the bi-state to really figure out what the majority of all of that's. It would be so convoluted, it would never get done. So, you know, move it over to the Kansas side. Okay, fine. Then I'll have to pay my share. That's fine. I don't. My first priority is for them not to leave. But that vote was to guarantee that they would stay in Jackson County. To me, it was also the Hunt family to say, we told you we wanted to stay at Arrowhead. Even if it wasn't the best deal put together. I mean, because I think it was terrible on the, I'm not a big fan of the Chiefs side of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think there's a conspiracy theory of them putting out the bare minimum and hoping it would get turned down. But I do think it offered an excuse to a degree from Clark Hunt and the Chiefs to say, listen, Kansas City, we wanted to stay at Arrowhead. We tried to stay at Arrowhead. They turned it down. Now we're going elsewhere. And you can do that guilt-free.
I have some fairly strong thoughts that we can get on later on when Clark Hunt starts talking about that, because I think it's a little bit, he tries to pull on your heartstrings, and at some point, I'm just saying, dude, come on, you can't keep using that and then move. That's Charmin ultra soft, in my opinion, but I do, because what we're looking at right now is, okay, so let's just say the teams are the girl, right? The guy was Jackson County. And Jackson County, they're like, come on, can you get a job? And Jay's like, nah, man, I'm good. You know what? No, date someone else. See what you can get on the open market. And then Kansas just comes in waltzing in.
Yeah.
They're just saying, you know what? We'll take a shot. And it's going to come up to the girl to decide, is the girl going to stay with Jackson? Or do they see this shiny new thing over here and go to Kansas?
Right. And I think the whether it's pulling on the heartstrings or people find them disingenuous or serious, whatever, what it did do in that vote was presenting it with the renovations that it's important to the family to stay here at Arrowhead Stadium to renovate. And when it's turned down, then go, we wanted to, but you told us no. We tried to stay and you voted it down. So do you want us to try to stay again? We got a sense of urgency now. When Clark Hunt says there's a sense of urgency, when we first started the project, we were 9 years away from the lease being up. Now we're six. And if it took 3 years to get to this, another 3 years of figuring the whole thing out, now you're in a real sense of urgency and you need to figure out what is going to happen after the lease is expired. So I do think there's going to be a lot more seriousness to the Chiefs of really figuring out not just the next 25 years, but where would you be for the next 30, 40 years and beyond, because when they were signing on to a lease for 25 years, it told you what they thought of Arrowhead Stadium.
Sure.
The Royals wanted to build and have a 40-year lease because that's where their new home was going to be, the new forever home, right? It was our new forever home. And the Chiefs sort of felt like they were improving a few things at the house, but still had eyes on a forever home eventually later on as the kids get bigger and they grow and everything and need to expand a little bit more, that, you know, need a little bit more room maybe. Yeah, then you have your forever home.
They wanted the acres.
That's right.
They wanted the acreage.
That's right. Maybe you're going and retiring. Maybe that's the forever home in the twilight of your life. But if it was a forever home at Arrowhead, it would be, no, we're going to sign on for another 40 years here and stay around. But they know that this is going to have to be sort of slow played over and over again, because at the end of the 25-year lease, if they wanted to stay at Arrowhead, it would be for another 20 or 25 years. It wouldn't be this long-term deal. Whereas if they build new, it's going to have to be for more than 25 years. It's going to have to be 30, 40 years of a lease to sign on to for the Chiefs to stay there if you're building a brand-new stadium. And I think that was an indication of what really the Chiefs also thought of that area of the stadium and what you could do ultimately to build on. And for the taxpayers to say, we're extending the tax and we're not really getting anything else. We're extending the tax and we're just simply keeping them here in Jackson County. And then that's really the biggest carrot that was out there, is that you keep the teams in Jackson County. That may not be important to a number of people. A number of people may just look at it and go, it's important to keep them in the metro. That's where I stand. Wherever in the metro, doesn't matter. I'll drive there, whatever it is.
That's what I'm about for the Royals. For Arrowhead, I want Arrowhead to stay where they're at. I want it to be right there. When it comes to the Royals, as long as they are in the metro, if they're on the Kansas side, they're up north, they're in Lynn County. Maybe not that far. Miami Absolutely. County. I'll go Miami. That's a half-hour drive.
Yeah, but you're not going a half-hour drive just for a Royals game, right? That's the problem, yeah, is being out in
the
area.
My point is, as long as the Royals are in the metro, I'm happy. Arrowhead, I would love to stay where it's at. And again, you hear Clark Hunt and the way he talks about it, and his dad and all this stuff. If he moves at that point, to me, that's soft. To me, when you talk about the legacy and you love the fans and all they've done for you.
Well, the fans are still staying at the fans. I mean, they're still staying in Kansas City. The fans are still going to be there.
I get that. But when you talk about the mystique of Arrowhead and Arrowhead specifically.
Right.
Specifically Arrowhead and what it means connection-wise.
Yeah.
And then you still say, you know what? You know, let's move. Let me think about moving. To me,
well, I think you get to
it can't be. It has to be either or. Yeah. You can't say I love Arrowhead. My dad loved Arrowhead, and we're going to keep it here. And then you still say, you know what though? We're going to try and test the water somewhere else.
Well, I think you can get the best deal for the team. I mean, the best deal. They're still in business. I mean, even his dad would you know, being in business, would look at it and go, well, look, I love this area. I love where we're at. I love Arrowhead Stadium, but the lease is up. 6 more years to play. They've got to figure something else out. And if you try to renovate again and the fans go, no, well, then you have to move.
Like, or renovate it yourself because you have a, you know.
Okay, because that's going to happen.
Well, no,
let's live in reality.
I'm with you.
Let's deal with what's actually going to happen, which is they're going to get a deal somewhere, whether that is in Jackson County or it's in Kansas or another city, which would be disaster. And I don't think that would happen because I think that would be the heartstrings of the, no, my dad moved the team here. We've been here. We're not going anywhere.
And where else
we're
are you going to go?
Here in Kansas City.
Where else are you going to go?
Any city will pay them.
But where else are you going to go where you're going to have, in my opinion, now you're trying to build a new fan base. Now you're trying to do all this new stuff.
Agreed.
You move them again. Hypothetically, let's just say Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, they've already got the Titans, but just as
okay,
a hypothetical.
Okay, but you can move them to, I don't know, name a city, Boise. I know they don't have a team. Austin.
Jerry Jones, Dallas. We can hold another team down here. We can put another team down here in Dallas. I got a couple teams in New York.
And they'll be a little brother.
That guy's gotten pretty quiet. I think Jerry might have.
They'll be the Chargers. They'll be the Chargers at best.
Go to San Diego. Well, if San Diego builds them a new $4 billion stadium, state-of-the-art, and they get to make a lot of money, yeah, they're still businessmen at the end of the day. Yeah, that would be terrible. That would be disaster. And I do think that would be to where, all right, you're talking about the heartstrings and everything, and then you're moving on to a different city. I think it's a little bit different when you're saying, yeah, we're talking about the heartstrings. Our priority is to stay at Arrowhead Stadium. And I do think they'll probably try to renovate again. They'll probably try to go about what the best deal would be for them in Jackson County at Arrowhead Stadium. But if they're going to get a big, brand-new, shiny stadium across state line, then you do have to weigh that as to what the best possible option is for the organization moving forward. I would love for them to stay at Arrowhead. I'd love for them to have a roof. I mean,
no, retractable, yeah. Retractable roof is ideal. I want retractable.
That's fine. Retractable or tractable or retractable, whatever it might be. A dome, just put a roof on the damn thing.
Not a dome, come on.
Just put a roof on it. Dome is whatever, you know. I mean, I would love for it to be retractable. That'd be awesome. In a perfect world, yes, but we're not living in a perfect world. We're living in a world to where no matter what, I want the Chiefs to stay in the metro area. And if Kansas is seeing an open door and saying, hell, we'll try to get the Chiefs over here. Yeah, that's what happens when you vote it down. That's what happened. You've opened it up to possibilities of them leaving. Whether you think Clark Hunt is being disingenuous or soft about, you know, speaking of his father and invoking his father about what it means to the family to stay at Arrowhead Stadium, I think they showed that their priority was to stay at Arrowhead Stadium. And they may come back to the drawing board and say, okay, priority number two is also to stay at Arrowhead Stadium. But you do have to make a decision. The urgency is starting to get there with the Chiefs. The Chiefs could have been slow playing it while the Royals had that sense of urgency because they wanted to move downtown quicker. But again, that was 3 years ago when John Sherman first started talking about moving downtown. I mean, He bought the team before the pandemic, and there was already the discussion when they bought the team they were going to move downtown. That was before 2020. It's 2024 now. Okay, it's 4 years later. It's on down the line. Yeah. At 2020, the lease felt like it was 30 years away. Even at 2022 and 2023, when they were talking about it, it still felt like it was a long way away. But you saw this whole process as to what it took, and there shouldn't be these timelines that are put on it. And the Royals made a huge mistake by putting timelines on it, their own timelines, and not meeting those timelines. It felt like it was sort of the group of individuals that were trying to get something that they wanted without having the real strategy and plan put forth before it started. A Keystone Cops sort of presentation and not knowing where you were even going to move. It's, we're going to move downtown. We just don't know where. And it's got to be on the April ballot, and we just don't know where. And then finally deciding where it was. Like, there were a lot of things wrong with that. But you are getting into the point now where you do have to make a decision if you were the Chiefs, and Kansas is simply saying the door is open. So here's a deal that we'll present to you. And if you find it to be better, and if you don't think you can get renovations passed in Jackson County, well, then your hand is forced at that point. Because, yes, you could pay it on your own. You could do that. I could dunk if I really worked at it and wanted to.
Foot goal. No, come on,
I just don't want to.
You can't dunk.
I just don't want to go and work at it and go through all the training that
Dylan,
it would take.
Dylan, okay, now I got to pause. Now we're getting in la la land.
If I went and trained for 6 or 7 months, I'm not going to.
No, Dylan, you think if Jason trained for 6 or 7 months, he's yamming? No chance.
I don't know. How close are you now?
I can get rims still.
Yes.
I can get rim still too, and there's zero chance.
Kind of just squats.
Yeah, but you're also not 6'3", though. I've already got a little bit of an advantage on you.
Well, and I got one on you. I'm younger.
That's fine. LeBron's older than a lot of players in the NBA. He's still better.
Okay. You know what? No, we're doing this, Dylan.
No, I'm not.
Jason,
I already said I'm not going
to. We have a 7 month timeline. No, like I already said
I already said I'm not going to. I said I could do that, but I'm not going to try. I don't want to try. It's way too much work. It's much easier to just not do that. And it's much easier for Clark Hunt to just not have to pay for it because somebody will offer him, including Kansas, saying, we're going to finance the entire thing. All you got to do is maybe invest in the district around the stadium. And now you're real estate investors, and now you're getting all that money, and you don't have to pay anything for the stadium when they were going to put in, you know, however much money, what, $300 million or whatever they were going to put in of their own money into the renovations.
And to be positive about the Missouri side as well, like, and I know there would be some sarcastic responses from people about how Missouri legislator acts, but they have a chance to respond.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Like, they can also counter offer as well.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely. You know, and they said Jackson County and Frank White said they're wanting the best deal possible that they can get for both of them. And if they're split now they're not working together on the same. They don't have to go on the ballot together.
Yeah.
Maybe there is more of a opportunity, a possibility of the Chiefs getting something passed in renovations in Jackson County. Although most of the pushback was, the hell are the Chiefs bringing to the table on this thing?
Sure.
What are the Chiefs doing here on this whole thing?
Activation zones.
Yeah, that's right. You're getting activated. They were activating people. Well, Kansas, they've activated Kansas now. Kansas is now active.
Bridge. Bridges aren't cheap.
All the
bridges
way from Taco
are not
Bell.
Cheap.
Like, you got a bridge from Taco Bell. You got all that stuff.
I mean,
man,
if you gave me a bridge to Taco Bell, like when I was in college, I mean, come on now. That's I would throw all $7 I had at that time into it. I would go tax me for that.
It would have been a great bridge. All right, let's take a timeout. We will start the show. Although we sort of did just start the show in talking about one of the things that will be happening over the next couple of years. I mean, this is the debate and the conversation that's going to be happening over the next couple of years with the no vote passing. God, that was earlier this month. It felt like it was a long time ago. Didn't that feel like 2 months ago? 2-3 months ago? Not just like four?
No, I did that post-game. I did that breakdown
you,
show.
You did the show.
That sure felt like...
It felt like it probably a 2 weeks long for you. Yeah,
long show.
But it does feel like it was a long time ago that vote ended up taking place. So that's at least the update of where everything is right now. The door is open for Kansas. Kansas is trying to walk through that door and allow the Chiefs then to come over or entice the Chiefs to come over to the Kansas side. And we'll see if they do. And it might just be to entice Jackson County to give them a better deal. of, all right, we're gonna leave. And there's some taxpayer dollars. There's some pro tax and things like that.
Not a bad play?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a big fan of playing Kansas versus Missouri. We talked about that at the time.
It's better than California.
But I am much more okay with either side of the state line figuring it out rather than another area. Shouldn't say another, but another state besides the two trying to come in and swoop in. Because when that starts happening, because I think people took Mark Donovan's words and said, oh, now you're threatening to leave the area? No, he was asked specifically, does that mean leaving Kansas City, Missouri? Yeah, all options would be on the table of leaving Kansas City, Missouri. Mark Donovan had never threatened of saying, if this is a no vote, we're leaving the area. We're gone. You vote no, we are gone. That's not. Because when people were talking about, like, my big pushback was, we don't respond to threats. Okay. Because you thought it was an empty threat. If there was, if St. Louis had a deal done and ready to go to take the Chiefs, and the Chiefs said, this passes, or we are moving to St. Louis. This is not a joke. We are moving to St. Louis if this does not pass. That would be the real threat, and we'll see what the vote would be then.
Or if he quote tweeted that Dallas mayor, like, you're damn right, yeah, there's two teams in Dallas.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that would be a real threat. This was viewed as an empty threat, so I'm going to fight back and say we don't respond to threats. Come on. Chiefs leaving, or you consider a 3/8-cent tax continuing that? That'd be the real threat, and people would sprint to vote yes at that spot. But that's not what's happening. I don't think it's ever going to get to that. Me knocking on
Sorry,
wood.
Dogs. Every dog just started barking.
That's right. I don't think it's ever going to get to that, but we'll find out. We'll see. And Kansas is at least throwing their hat into the ring, and we'll see how much the Chiefs will view that as a viable option with the star bonds not having to go to a vote to the public. If that gets passed, makes it easier for the teams, rather than putting a proposal together and saying, okay, now the people get to vote. So it is one option now that may be out there. It does have to pass a number of different things on the Kansas side. It's expected to pass tonight. But again, there are a lot of things that still would have to be agreed upon along the way before that actually takes place. And we'll see where the Royals end up going. Maybe the Royals look at the same spot or at East Village or North Kansas City to move downtown, and then that's on its separate lease. They should be separate. The lease should be separate. They should deal with their own things, go their separate ways, which is what they're going to do now. John Sherman and the Royals figure something out. Clark Hunt, Mark Donovan and the Chiefs figure something out. And then have the two separate leases for the two teams and not be tied at the hip the way they have been for, you know, 50, 60 years. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
Man, this throwback right here. I'm just a Bill.
Make sure it's not the Dan Band Bill version.
Nah, it looks like the one I watched when I was a kid.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, if it's that one. Let's get into what Brett Veach said yesterday. He had his post-draft press conference. They talked on Thursday night after taking Xavier Worthy. And now that the draft is over, Brett Veach talking about things that they drafted and how that whole thing went down. And now moving forward, we've talked a decent amount about the draft picks. We discussed yesterday, me, you, Jack, Dylan, about Donovan Smith and what happens moving forward. This is clip number 7 for Brett Veach. If you could play that. The question was specifically, you know, Donovan Smith, Mecole Hardman. He had mentioned Kingsley coming in and competing with Wanya Morris, and that's a clip we can play. But this specifically about moving forward now and what happens with this team. Donovan Smith a question, Mecole Hardman a question. Here's Brett Veach's answer.
You know, we'll use this OTA period to kind of assess that. I think we feel good right now. I mean, look, a lot of these guys were playing college football last year. So I think how they do here in the meetings and how they do with just kind of absorbing the information and can they translate out there in the field is a big deal. Now, listen, we don't have pads on, so some of it, you know, may tail into St. Joe's and to training camp. But I think for right now, I think we're going to let these young guys go out there and see what they can do and how much they can absorb. And if we feel good about it, I mean, this will be kind of where we go from St. Joe's, and then we'll be able to adapt and adjust if needed. But I don't think anything would be imminent.
So nothing imminent. So it doesn't look like the plan is you drafted Kingsley, now go sign Donovan Smith, and you've got three guys there at left tackle. And we talked about that yesterday, that we were all sort of in agreement that we're good with them not signing Donovan Smith. You've drafted these guys. Let's figure it out right now. It didn't sound like the door was closed, obviously. It wasn't that we're not going to do that. It also sounded as if we'll get a pretty good idea during OTAs of these guys. And then, as we get to St. Joe, we'll assess and see what we need at that point. If they look at these guys through OTAs and like, all right, this, you know, Wanya hasn't improved. Kingsley's so much more raw than we thought when we get him in here. And this is without really any pads on and everything like that as they go through phase two right now with Kelsey there in the building and signing his contract. Phase two taking place. And so as the OTAs go along, but they're good right now with that. It's not closing the door, but at least the start of the process is these are the guys battling at left tackle. It's Kingsley and it's Wanya Morris to figure out who's going to be starting on that opening day.
Well, it sounds like if they bring in Donovan Smith, that's bad.
Yeah.
If they bring in Donovan Smith, that's a bad sign. That's neither Wanya or Kingsley has stepped up.
Yep.
That's what that would lead me to believe. Now maybe I'm being a little too black and white right here, but again, all we have to go off is what he said, and what he said basically said, hey, we're letting these guys battle it out. We don't feel like we need a veteran, specifically Donovan Smith right now. So if Donovan Smith does get signed, not ideal.
Yeah, it shows that they aren't seeing what they want to see out of Donovan Smith or out of Wanya Morris and out of Kingsley Suamataia. And hopefully it gets through the summer and they get to training camp and the guys are just fine. I think Wanya Morris is probably inserted as the starter right now.
Sure.
Being the as close to an incumbent as you can get. I mean, he started last year, played left tackle for this team. So as it stands right now, I think he would be the starting left tackle, even though Kingsley was a guy that they thought maybe they would take if they traded back out of the first round. In fact, let's hear Brett Veach talk about that, because if Kingsley's in competition with Wanya Morris and a guy in Wanya Morris that played some left tackle, but most recently in his college career he played right, they thought he had some tools that he could play left. Kingsley has played both, but most recently in his college career he's played the left side. Here's Brett Veach talking about Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah, I mean, we had him up there, obviously, really high, and have to be prepared for all type of scenarios, and depending on how the draft unfolded, and again, you never know. I think we had a pretty good indication of just with the number of quarterbacks this year and the number of other offensive linemen that there'd be a chance a player like Xavier may slide to where we pick, but he was certainly in one of those top 25 to 40 considerations, and he was potentially consideration of 32. He's potentially consideration how do we trade it down, so to have the draft unfold like it did and be able to select him at 63, feel very fortunate and lucky. And as far as position, I mean, he's played both right and left tackle. And I think plans are to throw him right there at left tackle and let him compete and battle with Wanya. And we'll see where it goes. And mentioned before the draft that certainly liked some of the things we saw out of Wanya last year. And it was our job to bring in competition. And I think those guys will be excited to compete with one another and look forward to that battle at training camp, but also know that Kingsley has played on the right side too. So I think that there's a lot of versatility and value there.
He talked about the tackle position, that top 15. Yeah, you can get an elite tackle, but the real group of tackles after 35 or 40 drops off. And I think this is clearly a guy that they had in that top 35 or 40 picks of tackles, not 35 or 40 tackles, but
yeah,
the top 35 or 40 picks, that's when the tackles are pretty much going to be gone. And as he said, what fortunate and lucky. We feel pretty fortunate and lucky that he was able to, that we were able to draft him, because he was somebody they were considering if they traded back out of the first round. Now, maybe considering is different than coming close to drafting.
Sure.
He's one of the seven people we're considering. He's seventh, but he's one of the seven people we're considering taking at 32, or if we trade back to 35 or 36, depending on where these other six guys are, right? It's like, we're going to trade back four spots because there are five guys that we feel perfectly fine with drafting. So we're okay with getting an extra pick and getting one of these five guys that we've identified that would help us out in some way, shape, or form, whether it's fill a need or just be a great player. And if they were willing to trade back and still have Kingsley, I do believe him, and you know, there's sometimes when you're hearing a GM talk, and it's like, okay, yeah, Sure. Bo Nix was number one on your board, Sean Payton. Okay.
If you traded up to number one, you were drafting Bo Nix, not Caleb Williams. Yeah.
We're still taking Bo Nix. You know, I'm not saying that he said that. I'm just, you know, giving it an extreme example of what we've heard some coaches say in the past or GMs say in the past. And so saying you're fortunate, saying you're lucky to have him there. And if you really did believe he was close to a first-round pick, not a first-round grade, because, again, they have, what, 16, maybe 20 in a great year, maybe 20 players that they put a true first-round grade on. So when you're drafting that late in the first round, you're getting a guy who they probably have a round two grade on. Trent McDuffie was a round one grade. Xavier Worthy, they say a round one grade. So, you know, they got a couple of guys, at least in their mind, at least publicly what they have said, that they viewed as round one, that they ended up getting while picking later on in the draft. While picking it originally 31, and wherever the Miami Dolphins pick was when they traded with for Tyreek and then moved up to number 21 to get Trent McDuffie. But if Xavier Worthy was a round one grade, you got him at 28, well then, yeah, you're pretty fortunate or lucky that he's still there, because there ain't 21 or 28 first-round draft picks that have round one grades. But this was somebody that they felt like had a round two grade, but they might take in the first round. You take a tackle in the first round, it shouldn't just simply be somebody that you're going, well, we'll see what happens down the line. If he was good enough to be taken at number 32, then I'd say there's at worst a 50-50 shot for Kingsley to be starting game number one. Because if he's viewed as a first-round tackle, not a round one grade, but a player you can take in the first round, it's not somebody you take him in the first round and go, okay, you're good, sit him for a year. Especially when they've got the opening at left tackle, yeah. And they've got a guy in Wanya Morris who was a third-round draft pick last year. Not a high-level first-rounder, and you're on record as saying, we don't got to go out and get Donovan Smith right now. We're going forward with these two guys.
I think it's a good spot to be in. I know a lot of Chiefs fans are probably yelling at me for saying that this is a good spot for Kansas City to be in, because they're like, well, who's for sure protecting Mahomes' blind side? But when you have two, in my opinion, high-potential guys,
mm-hmm.
When you have, and again, in PFF, grain of salt, Wanya Morris was not electric on the PFF grades last year. Better than Donovan Smith. He was. It wasn't like Donovan Smith was this stud out there.
At minimum, you know, you're getting a really good run blocker in Wanya Morris. You're getting that. Now you need somebody to protect Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
But at minimum, he's a much better run blocker than Donovan Smith was.
But you have Joe Tooney at left guard who is going to help and mm-hmm. elevate anyone at left tackle, and you would have to imagine a young player. The Chiefs are in this unique position, and we talked about it with the Warriors. We've talked about it with some dynasties that eventually collapse on itself like a dying star because they stick with their guys so long, right? Their main guys. They never develop, and they never get the next iteration of guys to come along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the time. Here's the time to say, okay, we're Donovan Smith, we appreciate you. It's now time for Kingsley or Wani to step up. Now is the time for the next iteration of guys to get their feet wet and see what they are. We got a nice glimpse of Wanya, and I don't think Wanya was a disaster. I think he was fine. Again, fine's not good. Fine's not great. Mm-hmm. Fine is what it is. Again, you got a Super Bowl win with fine with Donovan Smith last year. And now you have the upside of Kingsley. I think the Chiefs are in a uniquely solid position at left tackle because, again, I think you're going to get one of those two guys. Don't know who it's going to be. You know I was high on Wani. I was also high on Kingsley. So I feel pretty good right now. That's why I probably feel better than most. But, again, I think the Chiefs are in a unique position to try and develop the next iteration of guys while Joe Tooney is still here. Who knows how long Joe Tooney mm-hmm. is going to be here? You're not trying to develop a left guard and a left tackle at the same time. That, to me, is very dangerous. I like where the Chiefs are at right now.
At least we know that whoever is starting at left tackle would have won it in a competition, assuming health, that there isn't an injury that then elevates one of the two up to the starting because the other guy got injured. If both of them are healthy and battling for that left tackle spot, whoever wins it had earned it between those two particular players. I do think there's an element of if you have two, you don't have one. So if you've got two left tackles, you don't have one. But you're also talking about a left tackle and not a quarterback. Left tackle is important. Quarterback is vital. Left tackle, you certainly need. Quarterback, you can't win without. So if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, your entire season is probably up in the air of how good you can be. But you're probably not going far in the playoffs or winning a Super Bowl. If you have two left tackles, you don't have one, Well, you can win a Super Bowl because last year they had two. Because the debate was, when Donovan Smith came back healthy, do you stay with Wanya Morris or go back to Donovan Smith? Because it wasn't that Donovan Smith looked like Trent Williams out there. He wasn't, you know, Laremy Tunsil on the left side. And Wanya Morris wasn't exactly, who played left side?
Cam Irving.
Yes, thank you. It wasn't exactly Cam Irving. You know, that's a great one to go with. You know, Wanya Morris wasn't Cam Irving, and Donovan Smith was not Laremy Tunsil. So there was a debate of which one do you go to. So last year you can make the case you had two and not one, and you still won a Super Bowl. You can do that. But it is time for the Chiefs to figure out who their left tackle is going to be moving forward. And this was a draft in which they needed two positions that were pretty big needs for this team, and there is some luck that goes along with a need and a draft and what a strength may be. There's some luck that goes along with winning the lottery in the NBA. Because you can win the lottery and the number one pick is Kwame Brown. You can win the lottery and the number one pick is LeBron. Right? Winning the lottery is not the same. You can win the lottery, have the number one pick, and it's Jackson Holiday. You can win the lottery, have the number one pick, and it's Luke Hochaver. Well, I guess that wasn't a lottery, but you get the point. Yeah. You know, you can have the number one pick, and it's Hochaver. You can have the number one pick, and it's Jackson Holiday. Or, you know, Adley Rutschman, even though Bobby Witts turned out to be a phenomenal player, right? It just depends on that particular year. And I bring that up because this was a year in which the Chiefs were in need of a tackle and a wide receiver. They needed speed at wide receiver or just simply a good wide receiver that was reliable, that it wasn't just Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and then the other folks. It was somebody that you can bring in and be a player for the next 4/5 years if you're taking them in the first round. And they needed an answer at tackle. Well, the luck of the Chiefs this year was that the two deepest positions in this draft were the two positions of greatest need for this team, tackle and wide receiver. And they got Kingsley Suamataia at number 63. Whereas if there wasn't the dearth of tackles throughout this draft, Kingsley wouldn't be there at 63.
Yeah.
If Rosengarten and Guyton and Martin and just going on down the line of the second, Blake Fisher, yeah, going down the line of all these. I think Fisher was who I was thinking of when I said Martin. I don't know who Blake Martin is, but Blake Fisher is the tackle
Kenyon
I was thinking
Martin.
Of.
I think it's you, Kenyon Martin.
That's right. And the leg injury really hurts his potential of being a left tackle, although he's big enough, at least tall enough there. But like you have all these second round tackles that went. If those guys weren't in the draft, right, if you didn't have this plethora of guys, Kingsley's gone in the early 40s. So you did get lucky and fortunate that maybe in your mind you had Kingsley rated higher than Paul and Rosengarten and what's the Notre Dame right tackle's name?
Michael Olowokandi.
Michael Olowokandi. So you had him. Was it Olowokandi? Was it the candy man?
Well, he was 1-1. So we're going back to the draft.
No. It was
1-1.
The kid from Colgate, Adonna Foyle.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Yeah, it was Foyle from Colgate. That's who it was. But like those tackles, if they're not there, you know, Kingsley's not, you know, available at 63. So there's some fortune that goes along with it. There's some luck that goes along with it. And there were 4 wide receivers taken before you got to Xavier Worthy. If Roma Dunze had another year, if Brian Thomas were returning, if Marvin Harrison was like, nope, I'm going back another year. If Malik Nabers was like, nope, I'm going back another year, which would be really odd if they all decided to do that. Xavier Worthy ain't there at 28. So there's some fortune that goes along with all of that and some luck there because the deepest positions were the biggest positions of need for the Chiefs this particular year, and it works out.
Well, and they tried to trade up twice.
If they hit on those guys.
And they tried to trade up twice higher, and teams told them to pound sand, and the Chiefs were like, okay, and they still get their guy and save draft capital, which, again, may have been Jaden Hicks. Like, this was a phenomenal draft in all regards for Kansas City. It's always fun when I have a lot of just friends and everything that covered other teams.
Yeah.
And they all texted me and said, what's it feel like to see the Chiefs yet again come away with a phenomenal draft? It's always outstanding when you see other fan bases, other media members, other teams texting and saying, you know what, the Chiefs crushed it yet again.
Well, it's like, you know, Clark Hunt talked about how Brett Veach has grown over the years, that he's, you know, was connected to Andy Reid early on, of like, you know, this is Andy Reid's guy. And even as the GM, it's sort of like, you know, him and Andy Reid, that Clark Hunt said, you know, he's grown into his own guy, into his own man. And he's leading the draft as Brett Veach, the general manager of the team, while taking input from different people. But he's running the draft. It's Brett Veach's team and draft. And each and every year, it seems like he's getting better and better. And I think you do that as you get more experience. And I think there's, I don't think it's luck that you land on players that have some value to a team in the third day. I don't think it's luck that you continue to do that. Whether that is infrastructure, whether that is leadership, whether that's coaching, whether that's development, whether that's drafting for traits, whether that's the fact that he said one of the key things of all these players is that they're captains. You know, mm-hmm. A number of these guys are captains and really smart football players, and they talked about Xavier Worthy as a freshman, had almost 1,000 yards receiving, which means that he picked up the Texas offense and the college game pretty quickly so he can adapt and learn quickly. Got 90 receptions, almost 1,000 yards as a freshman. It didn't take much for him to integrate into being a college player. So does that help you then say, okay, if he picked that up quickly, it's different at the pro level, but at least he has a history of being able to do something and pick it up quickly, captains and smart players and things like that. Maybe that's what they identify. Whereas other teams identify injury-riddled players, and they go through the season and go, damn it, it's injuries again. Yeah, no bleep. No bleep. You keep signing and drafting guys that have injury concerns, and then they get injured. That's not a shock. It's not a surprise. We'll take a timeout. Come back. More Zone next. All right, wrapping up this hour, we'll talk with Adam Teicher coming up at 11 o'clock. That would be the next segment. He's from ESPN, Chiefs Insider. A lot of stuff to get into and talk about with Adam Teicher. Xavier Worthy, we didn't get a chance to, we haven't talked to him yet since the Chiefs made any of their draft picks. What he brings to the table, what the expectation should be for Xavier Worthy, the trade-up, the value, Kingsley Suamataia in the second round, and the rest of the draft class, which is Jared Wiley and Jaden Hicks, and you've got Norzad, and you've got Haddon,
yes,
and C.J. Nelson?
Hanson.
C.J. Hanson.
Is he one of the Hanson brothers, do you think? Do you think he's like the big brother or the little brother?
Does the C for C.J. stand for Chris Hanson? That makes him the red zone guy?
Solved it.
Or the guy that gets pedophiles? One of the two.